Together from the Epistle of Paul to the Ephesians, chapter number 4. For the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speaking every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the things which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. In the prayer we prayed together, and for a blessing upon each and every one of us that is present here. And you know, that is God's desire, that he would actually bless every one of us who have come through these doors here this morning. That's his desire. So it's up to us to receive that blessing. The blessing is being given. In the first chapter of this epistle, he talks about the spiritual blessings, and he said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." And so the blessings of God are promised unto us. And in the first three chapters that we didn't read, it really speaks of the blessings and the promises of God that he has given, that he gives to us to possess. But here in chapter 4, we begin to read about what it takes to possess those blessings. And I'd like to just read a couple of a few verses from the book of Joshua. It's a book that we started to study on our Friday morning studies, and we even made this comment as we read. But the first seven verses of the book of Joshua in chapter 1, it says, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses my servant is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan." So they're being given a command. And thou and all this people unto the land which I do give. I do give this land to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness in this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. Look at the promise here. There is no man that is going to be able to stand all the days of thy life before you. He says, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. That's a promise from God. He's telling Joshua here. And then he says, be strong and be of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. And he says, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate thereon day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have I not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. God gave a promise, and we even shared together, like, this is the promise that God gave unto the children of Israel of a land. He promised it unto them, a land that flows with milk and honey. And we marvel at the children of Israel and how they were able to see the miracles of the wanderings in the wilderness. They saw the miracles. We even went back to the times of Egypt, that as their exodus from Egypt and crossing of the Red Sea. These are the things that they witnessed of the power of God, his faithfulness, what he has promised unto them that he was fulfilling. They saw these things, and yet, their carcasses fell in the wilderness. They did not enter into this land. And we made the comment, is that not the same thing that is going on today? The same. The promises of God are made. He made the promises. We read them in the first chapters here. But now he tells us, go and possess this land that I promise unto you. This inheritance that we have, it's promised, it is given. Be courageous. The same thing that he tells the children of Israel. Don't have any fear. There's no man that can stand in your way. There's no one that can be a fault that you cannot inherit this promise that I have given you. It's yours to take. But you have to meditate upon my law day and night. You have to meditate upon my law. You cannot turn from the left. You cannot turn to the right. The law is given. Meditate upon it. Know it. Know my law. And enter into the blessings that we prayed for, and that he said, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And so, dear ones, as he says, wherever the soles of your feet will go, it is yours. It's yours. So what do we not possess in Christ today is the things that which the soles of our feet refuse to go after. We don't want it. We don't want it. How could it be that the children of Israel did not want to possess the land? They were in bondage in Egypt. They murmured. They were horrifically treated, slaves, and they were hated by the Egyptians because of their prosperous ways. Earlier, the blessings that God had given to them, they were hated. They were made into slaves, and they toiled away. And God heard them. It's no different than today. In the bondage, in the slavery of sin, God hears us. And he says, I will free you. I will make a path for you. I promise unto you, I will not leave you, I will not forsake you. Did he not say that? How many times? I won't leave you. The blessings are yours to possess. They're yours to take. Take them. But don't go to the left. And don't go to the right. And he enters into this chapter. And in the heading of the pulpit Bible here, it says, it's an appeal for spiritual unity. As we read this chapter, we see, he says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, I beseech you. Isn't that an appeal? I beseech you, what? That you walk worthy. This is a tender plea by an apostle. He said that you walk worthy of the vocation wherein ye are called. We have a vocation. Walk worthy in it. I plead with you. Walk worthy. How? This is ours to possess if we follow this. This is how we possess what he promises. This is how the children of Israel were to possess the land. Follow and the instructions that are given. Love the Lord thy God with all thy mind, heart, and soul. Don't go to the left. Don't go to the right. Study my law. Don't be afraid. Yes, there's giants, as they described. Yes, there's fortified walls. Yes, there's a people that is itching to destroy you. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of what man can do unto you. My dear brother, my dear sister, my dear friend, nothing to be afraid of. Nothing. Who is afraid? Who is afraid? The one who has no faith. Why did they fall? They didn't believe. How could they not have believed when they saw? They saw the miracles of God. Well, why do we marvel at them? Why do we marvel at them? Do we not believe what Jesus has done? And he calls us to go with him to that cross so that this new man can be given a new life. My dear friend, the Bible describes you as dead. Dead in trespasses and sins. You are not alive. You cannot do what this is being taught. Don't look at this and say, okay, I'm gonna be a long sufferer. Forget it. He's not talking to you. He's not talking to you to do this. He's saying, come to me. Come to the cross, and I will empower you to do this. This is yours. This is yours. So we when we become Christians, become children of God, we do these things. We don't do these things to become Christians. No, we become his. We are given a new life. We're given a new life. You must be born again. That's what Nicodemus could not understand. What do you mean I must be born again? You must be born again. The old man has to be crucified. He has to die so that we can't, because the old man doesn't want to walk in lowliness and meekness. Meekness. Who wants to be, you know, we also prayed that God would humble us. And as we prayed, I thought, who wants to be humbled? Really, do I really want to be humbled? I don't want to be humbled, right? The man, the old man doesn't want to be humbled. Humility is the furthest thing that the old man wants to experience. To be humbled, brought low. No way. I'll show you. It's bringing yourself up. But God then can't work with me. He can't work with me. Why? Because I've grieved his spirit, as he says here. Grieve not the Holy Spirit. What happens? We know even in our own relationships, what happens when we grieve one another? There's a break. There's a break in the relationship. It's a breakdown. It's not the same. We've grieved one another. The relationship falters. It's broken. When we grieve the Holy Spirit of God, well, how do we grieve him? We're turning to the left and to the right. And we're justifying our actions. And we have reasons to fear the enemy. And so, because of those reasons that we fear, we grieve the Holy Spirit. What happens? The relationship is broken. It's broken. It doesn't work the way it's intended to work. There needs to be a correction. What do we do when we grieve one another? I'm sorry. I did do that. I don't know what I was thinking. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I correct it. The relationship is restored. Forgiveness takes place. Things are restored. Restoration. We can't grieve the Spirit and grieve the Spirit tomorrow and say, well, yeah, you know, and then grieve him again and grieve him and say, I am a child of God. How? How do you know? What's the proof? Well, I believed. You know, there's thousands of denominations that believe. But yet the Bible is calling one. It's calling one faith here. One. There's only one church. We divide it up into Protestants and Catholics and there's factors or factions in those, and there's thousands of them with different structures of beliefs. There's only one church. Are you a part of it? Am I a part of the one church? The one that is unified. The one that is unified that says there is one body, one spirit. Even as you're called in one hope of your calling. How can I have a different hope than you have, yet we have the same faith and we are children of God? How can I have a different hope? What's my different hope? What do I hope for? There's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. It's only one. Are we part of that one? It's an invisible church, yet it is very visible. You can't be invisible. When you walk in the light, you are the light. You're not to be invisible. You're not just to be, I'm part of the invisible church, and you need to display the power of God in you, working in you mightily. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. He says, unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. We've all been given gifts, dear ones. And the gift is not to be puffed up. That's what the Corinthians were confused about. That's that humility that we need to, and we need to be humbled. By God's grace, he will humble us. You know, there's a lot of things in life that we strive for, we work for, we do, whatever it might be. But you know, some of those things God breaks down in our lives. He breaks them down. He humbles us. We don't want to experience those things, but at the end of the day, it's a good thing. Because God loves us so much. He says, who he loves, he chastises. If I'm not brought low, if I'm never humbled, if I'm never like, what did I just do? How could I have done that? If I'm not humbled, to make corrections, to plead for forgiveness, to yearn for this unity. A unity that actually I can't create. The Spirit does it. It's His. It's His. When we are of one faith, there's a unity. It's the Spirit that unites us. Be united in Christ. He is the unifying factor. It's Him. So we can be united in all kinds of different manners. That's not what we're speaking of here, to be unified in Christ. And he says he gives these gifts to people. Why? Not for the edifying of others. Your gift that you have, my dear brother and my dear sister, is to edify me. Well, I'm just going to just be a nobody in the church. And yeah, you're going to be a nobody. You're going to be invisible. And God says, be visible. Edify one another. Uplift in some manner. Live. Live in the light. Walk in the light. So that you may shine as the light. And as the shining goes forth, it edifies. It edifies. It lifts up. Every one of us has a role. Everyone. You don't recognize your role? Maybe you've grieved the Spirit. Maybe you don't know what you're supposed to do. Why? Because you're walking to the left and to the right. You're not listening. You're not focused on the promises of God that He is giving you to inherit them, to take them. Walk wherever the soles of your feet go. It's yours. Take these things. I'm giving them to you. You can't have all these, you know, he says in the negative later, you know, he says, he says, put on the new man. Again, this is now the new man. Put him on. This is up to you and me. He says, and the new man, what does he say here? Which is after God created in righteousness and true holiness. I don't know if I can find it, but I know I'm going to just give a second here in Thessalonians. I believe Paul says, yes, he says, you are witnesses. This is Paul talking. You are witnesses and God also, okay? You are witnesses and God also. Think about saying this. How holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you. You are witnesses. God is a witness. How holily, justly, unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believed. Put on that man after God is created in righteousness and true holiness, so that you may also behave justly, unblameably, holily. I can't say that. Why? But I'm going to claim him. Walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. You can't call and then be unworthy in it. Walk worthily. How? Put on the new man. It's simple. Put on the new man. What? How do I get the new man? Go to the cross. I don't want to. That's very evident in a lot of our lives. That's very evident in a lot of our lives. I don't want to go to the cross. I don't want to be humbled. I don't want to restore relationships with God first. When the relationship with Him is restored, my relationship with you is going to be where it belongs. It will be. It will be. It will be. You might hate me, but I don't hate you. Why? Because my relationship with God is where it needs to be. I am possessing the land. I am walking in the promises that he has given. I am not forsaken. I will never be forsaken. I am positive of this. And then he says, wherefore, he's speaking now of the negative. Put away lying. Can you imagine even telling a Christian, don't lie? Put away lying. Speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Paul also talks about the body as being, we are members of one of another. Could you imagine you want to go down a flight of stairs and your eyes are going to lie to your body, to your feet, and tell you, there's no stairs there, just go. You would never do that. You're one of another. You look after one another. So you would never lie to one another. You can't. If you do, you're not part of one another. There's a breakdown. You've grieved the Spirit. There's something going on. Find out what it is. But it's going to take humility. We prayed for humility. We prayed that God would humble us. Do we mean it? Be angry and sin not. You know, we like to use this and say, God says we can be angry. You know, he speaks of and this is where he talks about with all lowliness and meekness. You know, we don't understand what meekness is. That's why our anger is not the anger that is being spoken of here. In the Old Testament, Moses is spoken of as being the meekest of men in the Old Testament. We find him coming down from the mount with the tablets in his hand, and he sees the people giving into idolatry, and he breaks the tablets. Was that a meek man according to what we would call meek? And we know what he told his brother Aaron and all the people. Is that meekness? Yes. Yes, God says it is. God said it's meekness. Was that anger? No. That was meekness. And that meekness would do anything for God's law to be upheld. Jesus Christ, he overturns the tables. Oh, Jesus was angry. I can be angry. What a fool we become when we talk like that. He says, don't sin. Don't sin in your anger. Moses didn't sin. Jesus didn't sin. When they displayed meekness, which was an expression of a holy holding on to the faith, which Jude actually even says of, he says, Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. This is that one faith that he's speaking of here. You must earnestly contend for that. Moses did that. Jesus did that. Am I doing that? Am I walking to the left and contending for that faith that makes me feel good and blinds those that I'm showing it to, who will readily come after me? Why? Because it's easy believism. It's easy. The ways of God become easy when we become his. When they are hard, it's because we are not his. We are grieving him, and it becomes hard, and we don't want him. He says, don't give place to the devil. How many times do we give place to the devil? You know, every time we look at one another cross-eyed, we give him place to the devil. When we gossip about someone, we give place to the devil. Anything that we do that is outside of God's just, perfect, holy plan for me, when I go outside of that, I have given place to the devil. He says, if you want to possess this land, don't give place to the devil. And then you're going to excuse it. Huh? That's how God made me. I can't help it. You have different passions than I do. No problem. You have your problems. I have my problems. We're all, by God's grace, saved. That's easy believism. I'd love to hear that. I'd love to believe that, because then I can do what I want to do, what my flesh wants to do, what the old man wants. That's what he wants. But there's one faith, and we need to earnestly contend for that. That doesn't mean that I need to fight you, earnestly contending. That doesn't mean that. It means live it. Live it. Where the soles of your feet are going to obtain and possess, that's called living. That's called walking after Christ, following him. And so I need to live that. That's my contending for the faith. Not hiding out, but being a light. Using that gift that God has given me to be able to shine and to edify all around me. Let him that stole steal no more. But he goes on and says, don't just steal, but go to work. And not only for yourself. What? We all go to work. We all go to work for ourselves, right? And he says, no. Yeah, for you, but also for me and for him and her. Go to work for others. What? Where do we learn that? Where are we going to learn that in this world? Where are we going to learn this where he talks about this I say therefore and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. The emptiness of their mind. That's what they're going to teach me. He said, that's empty. Don't walk like that. Here's how you walk. He turns it into positive. Don't steal, but rather work. Now he's giving us a positive. Work with your hands that which is good that you may have to give to him that needeth. Not me that wanteth, to me that needeth. He said, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Okay, so I'm not going to cuss. But do I let corrupt communication fly into my eyes? He said, but that which is good to the use of what? Edifying. There we go again. To the use of edifying. That it may minister grace unto the hearers. That's how our words need to be. Seasoned with salt. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. This is where he said that. Let all bitterness. What is bitterness? It's a concealed anger. That's all bitterness is. You conceal your anger at me. You're concealing it. And you know what? We don't really do a very good job of it either. Because you can't. You can't hide what's inside. We don't talk to one another. It says, let all bitterness be put away from you with all malice. Malice is something that I have. That's the concealed anger. In my heart, I'm angry at you. And the bitterness is actually a evidence of that malice that is in me. You know, have you ever heard someone say something, say, don't listen to him, he's just bitter. What an awful thing to say. Hear about yourself. He's just bitter. That means I've got malice in my heart. How am I not grieving the Spirit then? How am I walking in the light? I'm not. But be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. These are the restorations that take place, that God is so willing to forgive us when we repent and not say, well, you made me that way. We're going to blame him like Eve did. Like Adam did. You gave me Eve. She gave it to me. It's you. You're the one at fault. Imagine the blasphemy of saying that God created me to lust, to drink, to whatever. He made me that way. The blasphemy of that. But we're ready and willing, with a smile on our face, say, that's how it is. And God, for Christ's sake, forgave me. Not for my sake. For the Lamb's sake. Because of the love that he expressed on the cross for his creation. For his sake, God will forgive me. God will forgive you, my dear friend. He will forgive you so that you would then be able to be called to do and to possess what he has promised you. You can't possess it otherwise. He's willing, for Christ's sake, to forgive you. And so, dear ones, we are not to be, as he says here, children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by cunning craftiness of men, and they lie in wait to deceive you. They're going to lie in wait to deceive you. Join my church. Join my church. You don't have to do what you were raised up to believe. That's old-fashioned. This is the new way. Where was it learned? Where was it learned? He says, you have not so learned Christ. It's one faith. It's one baptism. It's one Lord. It's one Spirit. And it's one church in one unity in him. He unites us when we love him. He says, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge. We heard a lot about that on Wednesday. The knowledge of the Son of God. How? Till we all come. Listen to this. If we're going to justify our actions, I'm going to justify myself. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That doesn't leave me gasping for breath, nothing will. If that doesn't create a wake-up call in me, this is what I am called to. I'm called to know him so that I may be perfect, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Christ is all in all, and I am to reflect him. This is my prayer, that each of us, brothers and sisters and dear friends, would really consider the Apostle Paul and what he has by the divine inspiration of the Spirit of God, who moved his hands. He is a prisoner, picked up a pen to write this. It's written down and is there for eternity because it's the Word of God. It never will change. Man will do deceitful things and deceive and create followings and all kinds of stuff. But the word never changes. It's eternal. It's left for us. This is what Jude is saying. That which was once delivered unto the saints. This is that word. Embrace it. Love him. Enter into his rest. Put on the new man. Live Jesus Christ. Come to that perfect man, that perfect stature of the fullness of Jesus Christ. How you're going to look at me and I am just riddled with all kinds of failures. And I'm going to look at you and see the same. But dear ones, God is calling us to come out of that, to come out of those things and be this, so that we may be one. That's the only thing that will unite us. Clubs and I believe this, so I'm with you. None of that matters. What matters is being unified by the Spirit in Christ. Then we are His. And then we love Him. And then we possess the promises. And we are not afraid of Satan and his angels. We're not afraid of death. Yeah, he may slay me, Job said. Though he slay me, it doesn't matter. Paul knew he was going to die. Peter knew he was going to die. They knew they would. But that doesn't mean that God has forsaken them. Now, through their suffering, there was victory. Just like Jesus Christ, through the suffering came victory. He defeated Satan through suffering. The natural man does not embrace that. Through suffering, I will be victorious? It doesn't make sense. No, it doesn't. Not to the natural man. But to the one who loves the Lord and walks in Him, the promises are beautiful. They're sure. You have a hope. And in that hope, dear ones, we become conquerors. We serve Him. We love Him. And the world then sees that we are united and we are one in Him. May God bless His word into each of our hearts. Amen.